wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. At college, let the prime minister speak. As each fall of the year begins, millions of our young people go back to college. They are considered the finest of our youth, and they are being highly educated so they can be the leaders in the coming generation. Awaiting their revival are beautiful college grounds, spacious buildings, and chosen professors in every art. The air is full of anticipation of achievements, but strange as it may seem, the longer they are there, the more dissatisfied they become. Some lead and others follow as they try liquor and even dope to try and relieve the painful emptiness and boresomeness of life. And some break over all restraints of their conscience and home training, and they entice sex relations. The clouds of gloom now cover the campus, and it becomes the incubator to hatch some new tactics. To give a thrill of excitement, a revolt is started. It may be against some college regulation. Or to give it more publicity, it may turn into a race riot. Or it may even go all out of control and become an anti-government revolt and be fanned into a big flame by the world troublemakers, the communists. Along with this, the participants lose all personal respect and purity and engage in the debauchery of the underworld. Character, honesty, morality, reliability, all are thrown overboard as no longer desirable. And as for God, the living God, he and his son Jesus Christ are alike blasphemed. And were a student to carry a Bible with his textbooks, the last would really start. Were this dangerous fire of iniquity confined to one locality, it might be put out, but it has broken out across the nation, has leaped over national borders, and even spanned oceans, until this same fire of iniquity covers the earth and always centers in the colleges. What is the root of all this chaos? Wherein lies the real remedy? Were I just another philosopher or wise professor, I should have sense enough not to grapple with such involving questions. But I am a man of God, and the Holy Spirit has given me his message, and I must deliver it to the world at this critical hour. Hear then my message. Big colleges invite eminent public men to address the students. So let us go to the morning assembly at a big college. On the platform, the guest speaker is a new face. He's a Jew. His bearing shows he's accustomed to king's courts. His face is clean and honest. No dissipation stains that face. His gray hairs help to impress all that this man knows what he's speaking about, for he's a man of real experiences. After a few college preliminaries, the college president arises to introduce the guest speaker. He proceeds like this. During my years as head of this college, I have diligently tried to bring to our students the great public men of our nation. And you have heard these men present their philosophies of life to you, such a man as is with us today. Were there one world government today, and could I obtain as a speaker its prime minister, even that would not compare to our guests today. For this man has been indeed the prime minister, not in one, but to three governments, and these were not just nations, but they were world empires. Did there ever live a man who was prime minister to three world empires? I have searched all history, and I found only one, and he is our speaker today. By this time, every student became so engaged in a man's greatness that he forgot his hatred of a Jew and his scorning of personal purity and character. And as I have observed our young people today, I see how they run after a thrill, and they become venturesome and will even risk their life to get a thrill. No speed is too fast and no curve too sharp. It is a thrill they seek. But this man has experienced something more venturesome than a race or a riot, for he was lowered into a cage of hungry lions to spend the night with the wild beasts milling around him. Would any of you have liked to join him in that thrill? And when I try to help you students to refrain from evil habits, you excuse yourself by saying, they're all doing it. But our speaker was a young man like you, and he was not only enticed to indulge, but it was the very command of the king, and yet he stood firm and refused. He found it paid to live a clean, pure life. Then came a day when the kingdom was in chaos. The king had dreamed, and he demanded that his wise men should tell him the dream and what it meant. They were used to deceiving the king with their pleasing interpretations, but by first demanding they tell the dream, he called their bluff. The king's court was full of the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians, just like our college is full of wise professors and philosophers, yet none had the answer. They were stumped, while each hour of the clock brought them near the king's command of their death. My dear students, at this point, and as I look into your eager faces, I must deceive you no longer. I owe you a confession, and I must make it now. We teachers have tried to divorce you from all your home training about God and the Bible, and we have brainwashed you with our theories of science and philosophy. And the more you absorb our teachings, and the further you get from God, the worse you live. Again and again, I have gathered the faculty together to face this big problem, and no one has an answer. And the clock ticks on, bringing us near our doom, when all will explode and unrepairable ruin will be our portion. So I have become so desperate. I have searched for a man to help us. Before you today is the man who faced that challenge, and he stood up alone before the king in his court, and he told the king exactly both his dream and what it meant. It was the king's doom, yet fearlessly he told it, and all happened just as he said. This set up another world king, and our speaker became his prime minister. But this second king defied God and made a big banquet where he indulged his basest lusts. And as they drank, and some of you know so well what followed, I need not name it, then there came a mysterious human hand that wrote a few words on the wall. Though all were smitten with fear, so that the wine spilled from their cups and their knees knocked together, yet none knew the words. In they brought their prime minister, and he read the writing. It was the doom of that king for his sin and pride. That very night he fell, and the third world kingdom was established with our speaker as its prime minister. I now address you, my faculty, and you, our students. Let us all, with open minds, hear the message of this man. His name is Daniel, and many of you were named after him. Raise your hands for him to see all that bear his name. Fine. He is Daniel of Babylon, the prime minister of three world empires. How happy I am to introduce to you our great speaker, Daniel the prime minister. Now let the prime minister speak. With calm dignity, Daniel arises and speaks. Thank you, Mr. President. I am deeply moved as I look into your young faces. As a young man, calamity struck my people, and I was taken a captive to a great world empire in Babylon. I lost all, but I took with me my early training. I did fear my God and reverence his word, the Holy Scriptures, and no matter what calamity faced me, I could look up and pray to the living God, who is my God. I met the challenge by prayer. Like you, I no sooner arrived in Babylon than they wanted me to drink their wine. That was the start, but I feared what the end would be. So I refused and sought God's help. It looked like death, but God turned it into esteem from my very captors. Young folks, don't turn away from God and his word and prayer. If you do, you'll go down the hill from worse to worse. Maybe the first night in college, you knelt to pray, and the laughter started, and the shoes were thrown at you, and you quit. I had this experience. My enemies ganged up to destroy me and got the king to forbid prayer to God or to be thrown into a den of lions. But I prayed on, and that is how I got into the lion cage, as your president told you. But it paid to pray, for my God sent his angel to be with me all that night. And the lions were so frightened, they never touched me. I'd rather be in a lion's den with God than to sit on a king's throne without God. And on that awful day when the king ordered all the wise men killed, I called a prayer meeting, and four of us young men prayed. That very night, I dreamed the same dream the king did, and my God showed me what it all meant. So I went in before the king and told all his court the dream and the interpretation. I said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the latter days. I showed that all human wisdom will not do. And I want to tell you in the very presence of your wise professors that human wisdom and philosophy fail to meet our deepest needs. We must turn to God and his word. Let me explain further. Your problem number one is, where did I come from? In your youth, your parents told you of your birth, of your mother, but now you want to go back to the very beginning. Here in college, you were instructed in different theories as the evolution theory. You were told to imagine a little cell that mysteriously appeared from nowhere, and then through billions of years, it branched out into forms of life. But this did no more answer your problem than giving dry sand to a thirsty man. So let me turn you to the Word of God. It tells how the living God created a full-grown man, placed him in the choicest spot of his creation, and then gave him a wife, saying, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. That record makes sense now, doesn't it? Instead of imagining a little cell, we see a powerful and all-wise God creating man and giving him the very best. And God wants you and me to have the very best. God also knew man and what he needed, and so he provided him a wife. Young man, God knows you need a wife, and young woman, you need a husband. So keep yourself clean and pure so that you will be the kind of mate that you want to have. One unpolluted by sex and prepared to love and be loved in that dearest relationship of God's appointment, that of husband and wife. Your second problem is, what am I? You realize you're not an animal. They have no knowledge of God. It isn't in them, but it is in you. Let all the powers of science try to stamp it out, yet there it still burns within your spirit. You know there's a living, supreme God, and you know by your conscience that you've sinned against him, and you inwardly tremble as you face the day when he will bring you into judgment for all your sinful deeds and desires. The arguments of professors cannot annul it, nor can the pleasures of sin drown it. There is a God with whom you have to do. Your problem is, your third problem is, where do I go from here? You wave away the suggestion of suicide, for you know that death does not end it all. You are an eternal being, and there's a destiny ahead. Science has no telescope to show you the great beyond, and man's philosophy of the future is too silly to even entertain you. You must know. But who can draw away the curtain and show us that future life? Only God. And he tells us of his home in heaven, where he will receive his people redeemed from earth. He also warns us in his word of hellfire, where the ungodly defiant sinners shall receive the awful harvest of their wicked career. You tried hard not to believe it, but you must believe it, for it makes itself felt right there in you. Finally, my dear young people, if my life and experiences have taught me anything, it is this. And to this I attribute all the greatness of my life. Hear then as I tell you. First, you need God, the true and living God. Second, you need his word, the true and pure word of God. Third, you need a life of prayer. So start right in today and get right with God by repenting of all your sins. While you cannot live your past life over again, yet you can repent of it. Seek his mercy and forgiveness. Then put God first in your heart and life and in your education too. Thank you. And now I add this note. Since we live thousands of years after Daniel, we have God's revelation of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. All our need in life, in death, and in eternity is met in him. Young folks, don't live and die without Christ, but trust him as your Savior, surrender to him as your Lord, and worship him as your God. And you will find the supreme life, the life that wins, and the life that satisfies, all in Jesus. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
I